8:45.
Comes in pretty strong.
Okay, it's 8:45. We'll call to order the Gage County Board of Supervisors. Please rise and pledge allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Open Meeting Act is posted on the southeast corner of the wall. Attendance by observation. Juergens, Dorn, Bauman, Adams, Lytle, Byers, Setzer. Consent agenda, which is a general agenda. Approve minutes of meeting held September 7th. Approve all claims through September 21st. The amount of $870,016.99. Approve and place on file correspondence received. Approve register of deeds fees report for the month of August. Approve permit 885 for Ron Leonard's to trench electric line in Northwest Quarter, 34 Philly Township. Approve specs and call for bids for 2011-2012 snow removal for the courthouse, sheriff, jail, veterans office, and parking lots. Bids to be opened October 5th at 9:15 a.m. Approve declaring 1997 crack sealer 1C9ED1224T141834 a surplus and call for bids on sealer to be open October 5th at 9:30 a.m. Approve chairman signing certification of compliance on signing materials with the NDOR. Approve permit 886 for Norris Public Power to construct utilities on county right-of-way North 33 Rockford Township.
Make a motion to approve the consent agenda as presented.
Second.
Moved by Bauman, seconded by Byers. Discussion. Matt.
I have a few questions on some items here. One is a comment on number three there. You'll see 870,000 and some change, if you consider 16,000 change. Or $16 change. There's a transfer there of $400,000 that goes to Road and Bridge, so that shows up in there. So that looks like a really big number. And it is a big number, but that's where the operations, that transfer
that's
is made.
That's a new process that we're doing now, is a claim process instead of the resolution. One of the things we discussed with the auditors. So that's why every once in a while you'll have a large claim audit, and that'll be.
And those used to be considered separately as a regular agenda item, and so that's why that's in there. So that's a big number. And then I guess the other one is, what's the Register of Deeds fees report?
That is something that we've received all the time, but it does need to be brought to the board now. You can pass that down. It's just what she collects each month, and we have that from the district clerk as well. Last meeting, we had her fees report.
Okay.
And that was something the auditor said we'd need to put on the agenda.
And then lastly, what's the certificate of compliance for NDOR? What's that for?
That's
the signage report of that we received the email last week. Mark Minnelli tells us that he's the engineer that we met with, that's just some road had to have all the chevrons put on it, and we never signed off on the paperwork to complete it.
So was that in committee? We discussed that was all done and that the state couldn't find everybody's.
That's what Mark speculated.
Okay, yeah, you're right. That's what Mark speculated.
Yeah.
And that they, instead of finding their copies, they decided to send it back out to everybody and have them send in their stuff.
Yeah.
That's what Mark speculated. I'll take that back. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. You're right.
Okay, Matt, is there any discussion on the claims that we can do on the one that we – did you talk to Roger on that?
That's personnel. I guess I'm just trying to –
Yeah, I would say that's personnel.
Okay.
I talked to Don a little bit about it.
Okay. So anything else then? Any more discussion? Vote. 7-0 to approve. A regular agenda, comments from the public and requests for future agenda items. Jim, you are up because we have timed events. And then hopefully get to Mark for more testicle.
How much went
to road? That's a normal transfer from the general fund, and those all show up in the budget.
Thank you.
Thanks, Jim.
That's funded out.
They need the money.
Thank you.
Send it on an as-need basis, yeah.
Thank you.
Morning, Jim.
Let me see how many times.
Well, no, I'm just curious. Don't need to look that up.
Okay, are you a fan of this battle?
No.
Right over here?
Go through that again.
Do not open that up.
We can just kind of go through these things in order here, the pages. My third quarter activities, I just wanted to point out a couple of things. I did work out at the state tourism booth at the Nebraska State Fair. I think that's a good proactive way to promote Gage County, and so I took a bunch of visitor guides and promoted Homestead's 150th coming up next year and talked to a lot of people, and it was a good experience. There was quite a bit of traffic that went by the booth, so that was time well spent. State Tourism had contacted me and said that they're starting to get more and more requests for agri-tourism type tours. And so I knew Dean Engelman out at Classic Dairy had done quite a few tours for school groups and whatnot. So I contacted him, and he said, sure, he'd be glad to have the person from the state and myself out there to show us around. And so his daughter actually took us around, and the lady from the state was very impressed and is going to put it on her list of places to recommend for people that are looking for agri-tourism-related tours. And then Val and Denny Walton and Johnny Sadoff were real instrumental this past weekend in having the Jet Racing Hot Rod reunion here. And that brought a lot of people to town, helped fill up the motels, and so that was a good thing, and especially this time of year when the traveling is starting to slow down a little, it was good for the motels to have that added bonus. The next two pages are the budget. The first page is how we ended up the fiscal year, and then the next page is the first month of the ensuing this current fiscal year. So we were able to carry over $14,418.32 that we were in the black last fiscal year. So that helps out tremendously. Next page just breaks down the Visitors Improvement Fund as of August 31st. The balance was $117,292.25. We have approved $37,600 that hasn't been paid out yet. That's $20,000 for the sculptures in Veterans Memorial Park, $15,000 to the Prairie Playground, and $2,600 to community players. So that's what's spoken for. I will have one more request at your next meeting that I'll be bringing to you on that. The next page is a breakdown of the lodging tax. If you look at the totals, you can see that this past fiscal year was very good compared to the four previous years. The spike in October of 2010, when we found out a couple of entities weren't paying lodging tax like they were supposed to, the Department of Revenue contacted them and collected back lodging tax, so that helped out. Also, the silver lining, I suppose, on a tough economy is people are staying closer to home for vacations, so they're not necessarily going to California or Florida. We're getting a lot of people from Kansas City and Omaha and places in between to come to Gage County, so that's helped us. And then I think we're just doing a better job of marketing Gage County. Several months back, Mr. Byers had suggested that we distribute brochures a little bit better, and so we were able, through some occupational tax money, to do that. And so we've had them distributed throughout Nebraska along the interstate, and I think that, and just when we get bus tours here, we're doing a better job of just showing them everything we have to offer, and those bus tour operators talk amongst themselves. So if we can give them a great time while they're here, they're going to be happy and come back. And then on the last page is a letter of resignation from Michelle Mayfield on the CVB board. She's no longer employed at the Holiday Inn Express, and by state statute, we do have to have two people from the lodging industry, so we are in the midst of looking for someone, so at one of your near future meetings here, I will have a recommendation on filling her vacancy. The only other thing I did want to mention is I just wanted to give you a heads up on some things that are coming up. We've talked about the Springer Spaniel field trials later this year and the hog rally next year, but we do have on October 5th to 6th of this year the Nebraska Association of Professional Veterans Advocates, which is about 35 people, will be here. And on June 21st of 2012, the Nebraska Land Chapter of Model T Association will be here. That will be about 250 people bringing their Model T cars down. And then on October 23rd of next year, Farmers and Merchants Bank of Kearney will have a bus tour here, which will be about 40 to 45 people. So we're real excited, and I think my challenge now is just to get the word out in the community that tourism's up and going and thriving and good for the local economy, and I think as I do that, it'll reap more rewards in the future. So
I just want Jim to know that I was in Orlando a couple of weeks ago at the Disney World Center, and I couldn't find any of our tourism.
Maybe that'll have to be in the next budget.
All right, okay. I'll let you know.
Yeah, I appreciate it. Anything else? Thank you.
Thank you. Mark, can you do yours in 4 minutes? Need a motion to place Jim's report on file.
Mm-hmm.
Moved by Bauman, seconded by Byers. Discussion? Vote. 7-0 to approve.
Okay, as you know, we've been working for the last couple of years with SEND, Southeast Nebraska Development District, on a early warning system. Devices to be purchased with grant money, and there was 45 political subdivisions in Southeast Nebraska that were awarded that grant, and we have the back in April 2010 the board approved authorizing the money to be spent for the warning siren systems in Philly and Virginia. So with that, contract, basically it's a lease agreement for 20 years and then we own the sirens. It has been through the county attorney's office. I provided them with the information that they needed. I don't know if Roger has any comment on that. Or
we just had an opportunity to review it. We appreciate that, Mark, and we see no problem.
Okay, and the amount of money that would be, and it is budgeted this year for that, our matching would be $4,521.25 for Philly, and the same amount, $4,521.25 for Virginia. And so we would need the board approval for the chairman to sign that lease agreement contract with SEND. It's been a very good project. It's been a little challenging for quite a while, and I'm glad we're finally get to the point where we can get it done. So,
what was the total cost of the sirens? That was our share. If you had that there,
it'd be $9,000. Well, it'd be $4,521.25 times two.
Times two, but
yeah.
That's our share. But
yeah.
what was the?
The grant, their portion of it, the siren itself was $18,085
for each of them.
Yeah. So the grant portion is $13,563.75 for each siren. So we were pretty fortunate there to get those for 25% of the cost. So.
Okay. Any more questions?
And this would bring the sirens up in the county, every town in the community except for Wymore yet, and their two sirens were newer, so those are the last two sirens I had planned. When I was hired 10 years ago, that was one of the things that the board at that time wanted me to do is just try to get our warning siren, you know, back up to speed. So except with Wymore, every community will have a new siren within
Mark,
the last 5 years.
Our numbers don't match up on the contract and the agenda. The agenda shows $8,652.50. That's what the contract shows also.
Okay, they may have. Let's see. Well, they may have come up a little different area.
We have $8,653.50 is what the one-time payment. But if you add that, those two together, it's $9,042.50.
I would go with the contract.
This is the paper that they sent us last with the old contract. So what do you have, Roger? Is the same?
Yeah, I got the what's in the book. I'd agree with you. Go with that one.
Yeah, go with the contract amount, so it is a little less.
It will be changed $8,652.50 then.
Okay.
Make a motion to approve the Send Outdoor Warning System project.
Okay. Moved by Bauman.
Second.
Seconded by Lytle. Discussion. Vote. 7-0 to approve.
I'd make a motion to approve Emergency Management Director Mark Meinsch as the project manager for the Send Outdoor Siren project.
Approve.
Moved by Bauman, seconded by Lytle. Discussion? Vote. 7-0. Thank you, Mark.
I see the one I was reading is a change order, so that is correct. The price that's in the grant. I see that now. I had just looked down the middle column. It's a change order. So.
Good enough. Need a motion to close all rock and gravel bids at 9:01.
So moved.
Moved by Bauman.
Second.
Seconded by Juergens. Discussion. Vote. 7-0 to approve. These go to Road and Bridge.
Okay, the first one we've got here is for a rock bid from Jefferson County Service, LLC. The main rock from 1 inch down to 3 inch is anywhere from $12 to $15. That's the range on this. And is that the way I should just give the range of it, or do you want
Roger,
to read in all of them?
Roger, do they all need read in? Or
There's going to be a bunch of...
Yeah, I was going to say you're going to spend a lot of time.
I know.
I would just suggest you, acknowledge who submitted a bid,
okay,
what product it was on,
all right,
and then just put it on file.
Okay. The rock bid from Jefferson County Service, LLC.
Is there a bond on it, Terry? Probably need to mention if they bond it, too.
I don't see anything, no.
Sometimes they do, sometimes they don't. So.
It doesn't say anything.
Okay.
And I guess basically right up top page says $13.50 per ton loaded by supplier onto county trucks.
Okay. And Don can stamp them and then the vendors can get a copy of those afterwards, correct, Roger?
Right.
Okay.
This particular bid is from RL Team and Construction Incorporated, and it's a screened gravel bid from Beatrice Concrete Incorporated out of the Consolidated Sand and Gravel Pit, Tile Pit. Pit price, $8.70 per ton on that particular one. This bid is from Rock On Incorporated, care of Ron Jeffries. A hauling cost from Sites Quarry ranges anywhere from, depending on township, $3 all the way up to $10 approximately in there. Okay. RL Team Construction again, from Beatrice Concrete, Consolidated, Sand and Gravel, Alexandria Pit. Prices per ton on the gravel is $9.30, and the prices, total cost, delivery cost, range from 16 and a quarter to 18.28. Jim Juniman. This would be from the Juniman Pit, located east of Barnston. Product $5 per ton, picked up at the pit. Beatrice Concrete, Sites Quarry, I assume. I don't really see it on here. Rock bid, $12 per ton, loaded onto county trucks. Beatrice Concrete, Consolidated Sand and Gravel Pit, price of gravel $9.10 per ton. Martin Marietta, rock bid. Price varies from 1 inch to 3, 10.95 to 14.25 per ton. I assume per ton. Yes. Marriott again out of the Du Bois pit. I don't see that.
No, I seen the Du Bois shoe, but there it is. There's some prices.
Okay. Basically, the prices range again $10.95 to $12.75. Last one we have here is A Sand and Gravel. Hit price for gravel $8.75 per ton.
That's about compared to the spring bid.
Okay. The spring bid on that one was $8.60. Comparable, you're looking at $8.75 per ton on that particular bid. So that's it.
Okay, need a motion to put all bids on file. Or to accept all bids.
I'd make a motion to accept all bids pending review by our highways, by Galen, that they meet all our specs.
Okay. Second.
Moved by Bauman, seconded by Setzer. Discussion. Vote. 7-0 to approve. Gus and Lisa, you're up.
Good.
Okay, we have distressed ones that were returned. We have four of them that we would like to strike from the records, from tax rolls. You should have a listing of the four to strike.
Okay, do you want to read them in?
Yeah.
Which ones?
Okay,
that
we have one for BKNB Incorporated, 4740. They are out of business, no property found. We have one for Jason Bonebright, amount $217.86. He's out of state, no property found. We have Gerald G. Gertis, an amount of $280.81, unable to locate, no property found. And we have one for a David Week, for $205.48, unable to locate and no property found.
Okay. Need a motion to approve.
So moved.
Moved by Dorn, seconded by
Jurgens.
Discussion. Vote. 7-0 to approve.
Okay. Next item, we have the 2009 and prior real estate taxes that we need you to issue us to issue county sales on.
Need a motion to authorize county sales to on parcels of real estate in the county in which taxes are delinquent and which remain not sold for want to bidders.
So moved.
Moved by Bauman.
Second.
Seconded by Jurgens. Discussion.
Explain this a minute.
When properties go 2 years delinquent and we failed to sell them at the regular tax auction in March, we have to issue a county sale on them, basically. And then at the end of that 3 years, if nobody has redeemed them at that time, then the county attorney forecloses on them.
So that just puts them on the record for 3 years.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it starts the three-year process right now.
So these have been delinquent how long?
These have been delinquent two years.
Two?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And this list you gave us, that's the whole listing?
That's the whole listing, 2009 and all prior year taxes.
All prior years.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Any more discussion? This used to be a lot. There used to be a lot more of them before the tax
sales. Before the tax sales, yeah, that has eliminated a lot
of
that. And
what, we bring in around 400,000 on those on average year?
On average, yeah, depending on the year. They usually, anything down probably to about $400 or higher that's left on the taxes, someone will buy it.
So it did create quite a cash flow when you had 400,000 sitting out there uncollected. And any more discussion? Vote. 7-0 to approve. Approve or disapprove resolution directing county attorney to commence action to foreclose the lien of several parcels of real estate for delinquent taxes.
So moved.
11-34.
Moved by Bauman.
Second.
Seconded by Lytle for 11-34 resolution. Discussion. Vote. 7-0 to approve. Gus, you have anything else?
Direct you to do something.
I jump on it.
We are at the committee reports, so yeah.
Okay. Good morning.
Thank you, Lisa.
This didn't get placed on the agenda because there wasn't quite enough time. I talked to Matt yesterday about it, and we decided we'd just discuss this informally when Myron gave the report on law enforcement committee. One of the things I talked to Matt earlier about was one of the patrol cars we had that had a blown transmission. It was an old one we used. It was like an old Ford Explorer and had like 170,000 or 80,000 miles. We used it to fill in when other ones were in the shop. We decided not to fix that one up. The committee kind of had the general consensus, which I agreed with it. The problem I have is since that discussion, my engine blew up yesterday on my patrol car. And so we're here to discuss, figure out what direction wants to go on it. Mine's an 03 Dodge pickup with about 150,000 on it. The transmission has been going out. We've just been kind of limping by for a while, just seeing how long it's going to last, but they're timing out pretty good right now. So the question is obviously that's the area that we took the cut from in my budget was from the vehicles. I've got, I think, just a little under 18,000. So I kind of guess we need a little direction on it. We're not on the agenda, so we can't take any formal action. I guess I just need a little guidance if you want me to try to just use my budget money to fix it. If we want to go ahead and try to find a used one somewhere. Mark was going to be here. He had a few more things he thought maybe he could discuss on it, but he probably got called away. So I guess that's where we're at this point in time, trying to figure out what we're going to do. Most of you should have got, at least I know Rex and Matt and my committee would have got a printout of the vehicles. You can see it's a pretty aged fleet. I did talk to my law enforcement and safety specialist from NERMI yesterday, kind of what their thoughts are on it, and they say as long as they stay used, they don't care, they don't direct the boards what to do, they just ask they be maintained at a high level to meet and make sure they meet all the safety standards, which we've been doing anyway. If you look at the claims, you can see we take very good care of the old cars we have. So I guess it's just kind of open for discussion, kind of the direction you think we should be going on it. If I spend this money to fix the old one up, then obviously I have nothing for any cars again this year like I did last year. And I don't want to get in a situation where we're looking at four cars at one time. I like getting a regular pattern of there's money budgeted, so we do two one year, one the next, or how we end up trying to decide this. That's what most counties are doing, I'm finding out, is they just have a set program in place, and everybody knows what it is from year to year. So I'm up for any suggestions.
I guess, first off, the repair work on your vehicle, any idea?
I got it right here. Just shy of $8,500.
What was all wrong with it, or what happened to it? Transmission and engine both?
The transmission's been going out. We knew that we were going to replace that. The motor just started knocking bad and throwing oil, so I pulled in there and he said, blew the engine, so there's nothing to repair on it. And didn't really surprise us because it was starting to get pretty loud the last couple months, but we try to limp it by because I don't use mine that hard like patrol guys do. So.
There's, in the budget that we approved, $941,000 for the Sheriff's Department. My thoughts are, you know, the line items are for tracking purposes, and you as an elected
Correct.
Official, you're responsible for that. We've approved $941,000. If there's a vehicle need there, I'm not here to split hairs over line items. If you manage that, and if at the end of the year we get tight, then we come back and we talk. And that's my thoughts. If there's needs there, hopefully there won't be needs other places, and things will lighten up. But, I mean, that's my thoughts. If there's dollars out there, we've approved those. You're the elected official, and you're responsible for them. And if you've got vehicles you need to work with, that's my thoughts.
Well, I'm sure I'll be coming to see you because the budget's to the point where there's no fat, and I think you realize that, obviously. So I'm sure I'll not make it through the end of the year. There's no doubt in my mind on it this time around. So.
Right, and it's just the discussion as part of the
yes.
process.
Yes.
Yeah, you've got that.
The money's there. I just want to make sure the board understands.
Talking about that. Yeah, I think it's good discussions to have. Okay. But we did approve almost $1 million for there, and you're the elected official. And if you need to spend it there, and if we need to help later, we do that.
I think, Gus, too, we talked about, at the committee meeting, maybe looking for some, you talked about out of Kansas or Oklahoma or something, getting some good use.
That's where you have the last few times anyway.
And instead of spending the $8,500 to fix up one with 170,000 miles on, which is basically you have more in it than the value of that vehicle, and you probably know that, I'd sure like to see you head in that direction.
Yeah. That was kind of my thought. I know Mark was saying a lot of departments are going to where they're doing a lot more pickups because of the resale on them. The only problem you have with that is it brings in a new realm of liability and pursuit driving and when to do it, not to do it. And of course, I have policies pertaining to that anyway. But I'll do some checking around and I'll let my committee know what we end up doing. But when we're down two cars, it really kind of hurts. So I'll probably get moving on it pretty quick and kind of go from there. So.
And there are specifications that you just can't go on the lot and buy a car.
You've got
specifications you have to.
With patrol cars especially, they have to meet the criteria. Now with SUVs and pickups, they're getting more and more to where they have some packages to them. But for mine, I think the one I'm driving now, I think the previous sheriff bought it off a lot locally. It was a lease vehicle, and it got us by for 8-9 years. So, I mean, but I wouldn't recommend. I would not like to go that direction where we got those all on the road. I just think it's more of an issue because your wheelbase is different, your taller vehicle, and it's just dynamics for the pursuit driving is totally different training. So, and I just sent one of my guys to the academy for EVOC training, which is emergency vehicle operations, pursuit driving so we can train in that internally, but I have to find out if they've got any training now they're putting in the curriculum for that. So
it's not like you can go out and buy one of those two-seater smart cars.
No.
I mean, it's...
it's pretty specific. Even the tires, if they're not police-rated tires, something happens, we're liable. So it's a lot to watch. Yeah.
So I think we need a plan. I think as we look at the mileage here and we look at the situation that we're in, just kind of putting it off and saying, well, go ahead, Sheriff, and get cars if you need them, I understand that and deal with it at the end of the year. But I think we really ought to look at it, what are we going to deal with it now? And I'm not sure as we look at this could be dangerous for our deputies and dangerous for the people that we have in those cars that we're hauling. And as we're taking, 8-10 prisoners every day out of our jail because we're full, because we can't keep them. And I know we've got a budget and things are really tough, but we've got to deal with this. And we need a plan. And I think that, gosh, you need to go and find some prices on a half a dozen of these cars and bring them back to us, and let's take a look at it and see if we need to use some inheritance money or at least consider it and make some replacements, because this is dangerous.
I know, Mark,
the liability that we have is huge, and we're playing defense here.
I think Mark said the patrol had upped. I think they're going to like $125,000 on rotation now when they get rid of their vehicles. They used to be around 70. I mean, so everybody's upping it, obviously, from what it used to be, but... I mean, a lot of ours, we recycle ours, as you all well know. My program was taking them off the road and putting them with administration and use them out that way. But the time we get them, they probably should have been rotated out long before that even. But
we've got eight vehicles over 125,000. Eight. So this is something we haven't been dealing with, and we need to have a plan. And I think bring back some suggestions on what it's going to cost us to get current sheriff, and so that our committee can look at it and bring it back to the board, because I'm looking at liability here that frightens me.
Okay. I'll see if I can find out. Let my committee know. Thank you.
Thank you. Any other committee reports?
You
pretty comfortable there.
I was just resting. Well, basically, everybody's got a copy. On Road and Bridge, the main one is we've had Mark Minnelli down to me anyway in discussion about maybe doing some overseeing of the Road and Bridge Department in the short term. And he's going to come back with us with a cost. Hopefully of a cost. It's going to be a little bit down the road before he's going to have the employees, mainly Galen and Nancy, write down their workload every week, and then he's going to review that and maybe come down here a couple of days and see what he would have to do and to make it function and get back to us. So I think we might be looking at maybe, I don't know, probably could be a month before we have an answer on that one.
Yeah, it was a good discussion. If we're going to look at any change, now is the time. So we asked Minnelli if he could give us his opinion. Are we adequately staffed at the highway department? Are all crews needed? Do we have the resources available? Is now the time to have a professional engineer do some of our highway superintendent work instead of filling? We had two highway superintendents on staff. Can we cut money and without affecting services if somebody else approves our 1 in 6, if somebody else does our federal aid paperwork instead of having somebody on staff? And then a lot of times we went to an engineer anyway. So it was a very good discussion. And the blacktops, we talked in depth on the blacktops. Of Minnelli is going to give us a blacktop study so we know on our trucks, which Harvest is here right now, but as he broke down the design of the blacktop systems, it don't matter if you're 2 foot thick of blacktop. If you're deteriorating from the inside, you're still tearing your road up. So he's going to give us an opinion on that. And I thought the Minnelli discussion went very well.
I myself personally was very impressed with him. He knows his stuff. And not only that, I think he mentioned probably 6 surrounding counties or close that he does handle the superintendent job for them. I haven't got to it.
Consultant, yes. Because you need a superintendent.
He would be there. Yes, but he did the hard paperwork you know, that we need to get done. And there's a few counties that he mentioned I was going to contact and see how they did get along, but I myself personally was very impressed with him. So,
Myron, you want to touch on?
Yeah, I'll just say that he has varying degrees, I guess, of consulting work or whatever. He's not listed as the highway superintendent because each county has to have their own to sign the paperwork and so on. But he works out. It's a matter of how much your county desires to have him be a part of it, or how much your county needs him to be a part of it. To get basically mostly the state paperwork and that type of paperwork done. Then he'll also enter into agreements with you, like what Rex said, as far as how are you staffed and so on, and cost and all of those things. So, you know, that's one option. I know right away when Marlon had resigned that we started talking about, do we need to go look for another full-time highway superintendent? Would Galen move into there? And Galen has told us that he basically does not want to be that because of the paperwork. He just, the state paperwork and so on is just too overwhelming and takes too much time and everything. So, and that's why part of the reasons why we've started the discussion about, do we hire somebody like Mark Minnelli outside consulting group to work with our highway superintendent to hopefully make that a better process, a better highway program or whatever.
I want to add to a little bit to that. You know, we all already use that firm right now for our engineering. Yep. So Galen's real familiar with him. He's very familiar with Galen. They work together well, the way it looks to me. So I think it'd be a good fit for right now anyway, if we could go with it. I think cost and everything, I think it would be a good fit for right now. It's to look at. We don't all have any cost yet, but he'll come back with some costs, see what he thinks it's going to take.
Yeah, he's
something that I liked that he talked about, and I think I've heard you mention it, Dennis, and I know Terry has, the 1 and 6 year plan. If you don't have a full scale drawing of what your whole county is, why are you putting in this culvert if the road 2 miles down, the bridge is inadequate anyway? You need a large scale picture of it, and we haven't had that. And that really sounded, you know, very encouraging, that they would give you the tonnage of every bridge, and here it is, now you can look at it in this district. Do we need to fix this road? Well, there's no need fixing this road. We need to start shifting our patterns. I mean, he brought a lot of things to the table that we didn't know how to get there, maybe.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
When will he come with some sort of figures or proposals?
Well, like I just said, I would guess, it's just my personally, you know, we're looking at a month yet, because he's going, the people in the office are going to write down daily what their jobs are, what they do for a week's time. He's going to review that, then he's going to come down, I think, talk with the employees and kind of get the feel of everybody down there, and then he's going to come back to us with approximately what he thinks. You know, it's hard to say it's going to cost you $10,000 a year to do my job down here. He, you know, I can understand he doesn't really know what he's getting into either.
Right.
So it's a deal where he wants to, I think, I call it shadow him, maybe down here for a few days and just see what work he would be involved with and what he wouldn't be involved with, and then he's going to come back to us, I believe. Is that the way you guys understood
it? That's the way I understood it, too. He didn't give us a timetable. He just said, well, I'll come back to you with a proposal, but he would like to get a better understanding or know more, like Terry said, know more what is going on down here. You know, he has a general idea, but he wants to know more. He wanted Galen and Nancy to write down what they're doing every day, exactly what they're doing, so he knows whether or not we need another person down there, whether, you know, he needs to be down, if Mark would have to be down here for a period of time each week, or if he could do it more as an outside consulting group and they just touch base with him every day, or different thoughts or ideas like that.
Sounds good. Sounds like he wants the facts. I like somebody like that. He's not just making a guess. He's good. Good.
Anything else? Any other committee reports? Matt.
Talk to Myron a little bit today. We need to meet for emergency management EMS. We put in a couple extra $1,000 in the line item budget for miscellaneous equipment requests. And we talked a couple years ago about some of the squads, helping them with laptops and the ability to transmit their eNarcissus reports. en route to save time for the volunteers. And there is a request from Claytonia to see how that would work. And I visited with Dr. Rice about that, and he said, oh, probably, and I've talked to Ron Miller from Claytonia as well, if we start with $1,500, that would probably provide for a laptop computer and an air card and see how that transmission system would work. There was a tough book bid that came in that was rather strong, really strong, and I said, well, that's probably not going to work. But as far as trying to help them, and that was part of that, not trying to provide or make an unfunded mandate. You know, we'd like you to do this e-narcissist within a certain period of time. Let's give you the tools to do that. So we just bring that up. We had put some extra dollars in there for miscellaneous equipment requests. Right now, that's the only request that's been made. And so I just wanted to talk about that here, and that we'll visit about that in committee, and then $1,500 would be top end. And so then I'll just communicate back to the squad that this is what, you know, if they want to spend $5,000, here's $1,500, and just be able to assist them. But it sounds like $1,500 probably get one and, you know, get it going and see how it works. So.
Okay. Any other discussion? Committee reports? Not. We need a motion to go into a closed session on strategy session regarding the investigation of litigation of personal claims. And the reason necessitating the closed session is for protection of the public interest.
So moved.
Moved by Bauman.
Second.
Seconded by Byers. Discussion. Vote. 7-0 to approve. No action, correct, Pam, coming out?
No.
No action.
Okay, wait a minute.
Well, and you know what? I don't have a problem with
that. Okay, do we have a motion to come out of executive session? Moved by Byers, seconded by Bauman. Discussion.
AG's office now.
Vote. 7-0 to approve. Anything else for the good of the order of the Gage County Board of Supervisors? Meeting adjourned at 11:50. Thank you.
Thanks,
guys. I appreciate it.
Thank you. Thank you.